Raise one hand, let's say together. Dear Father, name of your Son Jesus, in this service, we welcome revelation of your word as we listen to the information and the instructions given by your Spirit. We believe and receive that the things that ought to be said will be said. The things that ought to be done will be done. And together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. In this service, he is glorified as we are edified. Amen. Matthew 28:19. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority which was power given unto me in heaven and earth, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 26, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, of the age. And he says, amen. Now, you see, Jesus said, go and make disciples. To what make disciples, that's what teach there in verse 19. It means to train people. And training gives you skills, a know-how, an ability to do things. People don't just pray. They are trained to pray. I shared the story of how, you know, I used to be in the prayer department. I prayed naturally. I attend meetings. In fact, I remember a camp meeting that I attended like that in 94. I joined the prayer group of every day. So while I'll teach during the day as a group leader, then at night I'll do vigils, and I like it until I went to join the intercessory department. And the intercessory department of, that's the church I was attending in the university. And of course I was a member of the department. So when I joined that, and they took us to a prayer meeting, they didn't give us an idea of what kind of prayer meeting you are. Let's just go and pray and enjoy it. Yeah, let's go. I love to pray. So I expected that, you know, the first day they would allow us to rest. They would take snacks, refreshments, and prayer for the next day. For the first day, the preacher came up and just shared with us in a few minutes why we must pray. And then left us like we started praying. So I felt that it was just to wrap up for that day. Ah. It's as though they decided not to look at the clock. 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. I started getting angry. They should have told me. I said, no. It's not that I don't want to pray, but I should be prepared in my mind. My mind should have been ready for this. I've been praying since how many years? But this is different. How can you just... I started saying, you know, I came very far, and I should be tired. I go all the way. So I now said, the next morning, I was going to leave. Why was I leaving? Because he did not tell me. I was already there. He didn't tell me. They had told me, you know, there's a mental preparation. And there's a bodily preparation. I was arguing with myself. So I now left it. I told my HOD, enough. Don't call it lie like that. I said, I have an assignment. I knew I had the assignment before I came. I have an assignment. I have no absolute. He said, oh, you didn't. I said, you know, I didn't. I said, I just, you know, there's a way you can say what you want to say. So he said, okay. So I packed my bag and I was going. At least I've tried. I prayed yesterday to this morning. I tried. In 4 days, I've done half a day. But next time, next year, I'll come. That one, I will know. You know, so I got my bag. So I was going and I said, really, why are you going? You know that that assignment is not this weekend. But it's better to do it this weekend. You know after that person, I said, yeah. And because I was a pastor too, I said I had to go and minister in our fellowship in Lagos. And they were not expecting me. So I said to myself, you better wait. If you wait, it's for your good. And it's for the good of those that will hear you after today. I was already, and that place was very far to the gate. So as I got to the middle, I said, go back. Ah, so as I went back in my age, I just felt, let me stay. He said, thank God. I was thinking about it. I looked at him. So I stayed there. And that was where we began to pray. My mind started questioning my mind. Why did you come back? And we prayed the next day again. You know, let me go and pray. There's no music. They're just praying. I'm praying. Wait. This is for another prayer point. Another prayer point. Another prayer point. There's one brother like that which is called, we are still praying, brethren. That's his name. Brethren, we are still praying. Anytime you see him, don't think he's coming to round up the prayer. If I when he wants to round up the prayer, I say, let's begin to pray. That our prayers should be answered. And I begin to pray, to thank the Lord that another 1 hour you are praying over the prayer you are praying. What kind of person? Ah, brother, brethren, we are still praying. So I was at the house. I came back and prayed. And then he said, okay, let's take a short break. Then everybody, that was like the second or third day. And he said, we should go and sleep for a few minutes. So they gave us a bed. So two of you will sleep on one bed. So just so that you will not find yourself on the Mount of Transfiguration. So there's the brother that was now slept beside me. That's how he now said, oh, ah. Father God, I said, ah! I just changed my location. body! But you know, I'm so glad the training, because by the time that I got back to Kurudu, that when the meeting was over, so I went to the brethren, and they just met me, and we went to the classroom. As I began to share God's word, it was about 4 o'clock. As I shared God's word, we prayed till 11 without planning to pray. So I had already impacted their lives with the spirit of, there's a spirit of prayer. There are people who by training they carry it. Glory to God. Are you there? There's preaching about prayer and there's impacting people to pray, to train them to pray. So there's training. There's such a training. So when it says, make disciples, it's a training. It's a training of the Spirit of God. It's a training by the Word, where you are actually trained. And you are trained by precepts and by example. There's teaching, right? And that teaching, verse 20, involves information and instruction. Mark's Gospel 16. Are you in church? Are you in church? Mark's Gospel 16. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. If they take up serpents, if they drink anything, they shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. So we have 5 signs. Any believer here? Anybody who is a believer? Let me see your hand. You're a believer. Come on, raise your hand. Come on. Believer. Come on, raise it high. Let's see it. Are you ashamed of it? Raise your hand well. I'm a believer. Say, I'm a believer. I believe the gospel. So these are my signs. So what's the first one? In my name they shall what? Say, it's my sign. To cast out demons. So, you know, say, well, I know that guy is born again now. Say, why? Ah, he's been looking. I can see the glory of God all over him. Why? The kind of shirts he now wears. So some Christians are cannabic. They are just very carnal. I can see the glory of God all over. I just bought a brand new car. That's rubbish. That's not the glory of God. He says, in my name, they will cast out demons. Glory to God. Glory to God. When believers know who they are, they cast out demons. What's the second one? They shall speak with tongues. Is that it? Say, that's my sign. Say, it's my sign. It's my sign to cast out demons. I don't think I heard it. Say, it's my sign to cast out demons. It's my sign to speak with new tongues. Speak in tongues. Let's see. Come on. It's your sign. Come on now. It's your sign. Go ahead. Come on. Go ahead. Go ahead. Glory. Amen. See, that's my sign. He said, they shall take up serpents. They shall take up serpents. Now, taking up serpents means to confront the works of darkness. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you power, authority, to tread upon serpents and scorpions. And over all the power of the enemy. So serpents represent the work of the devil. Of course, from Genesis 3:1 and John 3:14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. That's the works of the devil. Matthew 23:23. He called the Pharisees, you brood of vipers, you serpents. And that's what serpent refers to. Works of darkness. So they said, I drink any deadly thing and not hurt them. Say, nothing deadly hurts me. Say, nothing deadly hurts me. Say, I speak with tongues. I cast out demons. I confront the works of darkness. Nothing deadly hurts me. Look at the last one, verse 18. They shall lay hands on the sick. And the sick shall... These are the signs of believers. Say, I see the signs. Say, this week, this year, and every year, every day, every week, I see the signs. I walk in the supernatural. Amen. Because these signs are supernatural signs. They're supernatural. Now, you know, myself and my father, we used to have this tussle about Christianity, about my commitment to the ministry, and all that. At one time, he traveled out of station. I'm not sure where he went to again. I think he went to the north or so. I'm not sure again. I think about that. So, we're having this meeting there, the anointing and his anointings. It was 1996, about July, August. And so that night, as we were praying for the meeting, we had this armed robbery attack in our house. My mom was home, I was home, my sister, my brother, my grandmother, and I think a cousin or two of mine. And, well, long story short, miraculously, you know, those guys that came with weapons and all that, and they had to run back. And I was the one who confronted them. Praise the Lord. And so, our neighbors came about 1 hour after to knock the door, the gate. And the gate was far. I had to go and open the gate for them, you know that. So when my dad came back, you know, we had argued before he traveled. He had done his usual warnings. So he came back and he was submerged. He now said, I thank God for your life. He said, I was told how God used you. He had told me God can never use you. He told me before. He said, you're just being deceived. They are deceiving you. They're just deceiving you, putting religion into your head to waste your... Then he told me one story of somebody that was his cousin, another person was his classmate. I was just looking at him. So then I said, you know, I can see God is using you. And I know you're a man of God. But that's not where he ended, though. He said, but please, next time, don't confront them. He said, that power that God has given you, don't use it before them. You can stay in one corner and let God use it. His faith was halfway. But the point was, he was subsumed because of the signs. One time like that, my brother then, he was ill. My father said, come and pray for him. I said, I'm going. I said, no, you're not going. You have to pray. So I said, oh, when I come back, he took my hand like this. He said, oh yeah, oh yeah, bring it, oh yeah, put it, oh yeah, pray, just say something. He had now had faith in it. You know why? He saw the signs. Hallelujah. So I walk in the supernatural. Because the signs of you being a believer are supernatural things. Thank God for changing conduct. Glory to God. Which is also supernatural. But we have supernatural signs. As believers. Glory to God. Because the moment you have faith in God. The Bible says in John 4:23-24. God is a spirit. Angels. Part of our faith. Are spirit. The Holy Ghost. The gift of salvation. So faith in Christ. Or faith in the gospel. Is faith in the supernatural. Faith in the supernatural world. Faith in the operations, the workings of the Spirit. Glory to God. Say, I believe in the supernatural. I don't think I say, I believe in the supernatural. So the moment you believe in God, believe in Christ, you believe the gospel, you believe in the supernatural. Glory to God. Luke's Gospel 24. You in church? Verse 25. Then he said to them, "O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he explained unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." So Jesus also trains believers, or trained believers here, how to interpret the Bible, how to read it well. You know, I said this in the other services. Imagine if you are meant to be an accountant. An accountant. And then we ask you, "Oh, sir, 4 times 4, you say 44. Huh? You say, "Oh, so hold on. Can I have matchstick? 4, 4, 4, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. I say, ha. Ha, ha, ha. That's like, you know that song? That's only using slate. You know slate? What do you know? You don't know slate? That you write with chalk. Say, ah, I can't. What you going to say? I can't call. Kind of coke me. Where did you get it from? You are fake. You're a fraud. If someone says he's a believer, say, "Please explain that Bible verse to me." Ah, dumb question. You say, "What's John 3:3? Some man born again." Say, "Ah, born again, no me. No, explain." "Ah, I don't know. You know, just come to our church. That's what my pastor does for his life." You are a fraud. Because you say you have faith in God, faith in His Word, and you cannot even read it and explain it. I know you are not a fraud, but you are acting like one. Because it's basic. It's not an option to know your Bible. It's not an option. It's an instruction. It's not like you have an option to read the Bible or not. No, it's not an option. It's an instruction. And today, we have false conversions. I said it somewhere, and I can say it again because I don't want to be misquoted. When you see people lay claim on having people surrender their lives, as they say, or give their lives by one mass campaign on the internet, and you look, what did they say? The guy just spoke something nice and said, "If you're there at home and watching me, you want to give your life to Christ, just say after me, Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father." You know? And if you have been going out for evangelism, and you know how long it takes you to have a conversation, and talk to people, 20, 30 minutes, and you are engaging them, you might have to doubt such things. Why am I saying it? You have a lot of people like that claim salvation, but are not born again. And one of the things you are going to notice, they don't like reading the scriptures. That in itself is a red flag. Because salvation has fruit. It has signs. It's a red flag. You don't like reading the scriptures. I don't like. My only is just, "Let God just change my situation." No. You have people like that. You could find them in your office, in your college, in your neighbor, they say, I'm a Christian. Really, they have not believed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so it's important to see that Jesus trained people how to read the Word of God, how to read the scriptures. 44. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Then he opened their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. So it is not an option. It's an instruction. See, I don't have the option of knowing God's word or not knowing God's word. I don't have the option of studying scriptures or not studying the scriptures. I have an instruction from God to study the scriptures, to know how to interpret it. So it's an instruction, not an option. Just like the physical gathering of believers is not an option. You can choose the online church or the all. No, it's not an option. It's not either or either or. No, it's an instruction. Someone said, hey, but some people, you know, they prefer. No, a church that worships its members is not in the will of God. Now, what do you guys want? Okay, we think that every service, you should take in cake and coke. Is it cocaine? No. Coke. In every service. Or say, Pastor, can we do this? Just to encourage brethren, every prayer meeting, we serve refreshments and food and snacks. So, prayer group, when you are done, jollof rice, fried rice. You know there's turkey. Turkey is small. Turkey is the one you have to, that's turkey. And you have real dodo, not the plantain chips. All those small. See, after service, people just show up to pray. They exercise the energy. Yes, Lord, yes! Because you know they are going to feel it back. Oh, yes! Burning for the nations. Then you now say, every hour of prayer, $500. Pastor, why are we praying so little in this church? I don't believe in it. Because the God that saved me, he deserves more. 3 hours. No, Pastor. You should at least say 8 hours. The guy's head is in $4,000. 2M. Because in Nigeria, we do hermeneutics. When you see something in dollar, you go to naira. It's diamenio. Say $5,000. Pastor, let's pray. Let's pray. In fact, the way I'm even seeing it, the Lord said I should join 4 prayer groups. So the guy that I thought he didn't have time for prayer, he will create the time. He said, Pastor, vision, come. Vision. Because Jesus prayed all night. You showed us, sir. All night. Hallelujah. So it's not an option. Prayer is not an option. Evangelism is not an option. There are instructions. Coming to church of fellowship believers is not an option. It's an instruction. Say, I walk in it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 20. And verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now I said this in the other services, that this word receive is not a one-time word. I know for the sake of expression, they would have put keep receiving. Now the word there is lambano. Lambano. L-A-M-B-A-N-O. And in the Greek here, it means to continually take from. To continue, for example, if you have a rushing water, and you want to go and water your garden or something like that. You know, you connect it to maybe a pipe and then to your watering can or whatever you're using, or the nozzles or whatever, and you keep taking it. You know, it's the water will never run dry. The things of God's Spirit will never, but you keep taking it. Now, if you don't connect to it, if you don't take from it, you have it, but you're not using it. So the word receive here is a present tense continuous instruction. Just like Ephesians 6 and 10, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. You can't be strong once. Many instructions in scriptures are in the continuous tense. Walk in the Spirit. It's not you are taking a walk. It's a continuous action. Pray. Keep praying. Pray always. Ephesians 6, 18. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17. These are not one-time actions. They are continuous actions. 2 Timothy 2, 1. Be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep being strong. So when it says be strong in the power of His might, they say put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor. Now the Greek is keep putting it on. So yesterday's activities does not cover up for today's activity. You have to keep at it. Now, I said this in the LSS, I'm going to say it again. That people we often call experts in spiritual things, they are no experts. Yesterday I was at a meeting, and an alumni meeting, we were having a conversation over buildings. You know, I mean, if you're in Lagos, you know there have been conversation about buildings, and you know, and so people spoke. So what the person who gave the talk is an engineer of I think he said 1976 or 5. So he's about 46 years. So the second person who now spoke afterwards, he's been an engineer from about 1970. And they were all speaking from expertise. So one person now spoke. He's been an expert engineer. In fact, he mentioned the places he built in Lagos and around Nigeria since 1959. So he said, no. And he gave expert. Then I said something. He said, though the last time I was engaged in practice was, I think he said 1999 or something. So yeah, yeah. But that's not how Christianity works. You are an expert because you are doing it now. Okay? So what makes you an expert is not anything special, but the fact that you are still doing it. You are consistent. So there are no experts per se in the things of God. We only have dedicated people. People who do things always. You know, a preacher, someone told me something. He said, I was called to speak in a meeting. And the meeting had a whole lot of ministers. I got the subject just about the time I came up. And ministers called across denominations, across different states and sometimes even countries. So he said, there was a way you handled the meeting. And I said, well, years ago, and I mentioned then, I've spoken a meeting like this, and I know, they didn't know that I said nonsense. I said, but I didn't give up. I went back again to get better. I said, and this thing you asked me to do, I do it every day. So if I do it every day, and you call me to do it again today, I will do it the way I should do it. I'm going to get better, definitely. So, there's no experts. You just have people that do it all the time. Because I told you in the early service, I said, okay, you are not there, that I made a decision about 27 years ago not to have a day pass by that I won't teach the word, preach the word, or minister or pray for someone. Now, that is how you become, I'm not an expert, but you become proficient in the things of God because you do it always. You wake up to pray in the Spirit. You pray in the Spirit throughout the day. You are able to, you know, walk in the things of the Spirit in different activities of the day. You study God's Word. You keep an environment around you hearing God's Word. So when it is time to do certain things, you look like an expert. It's not that you're an expert. It's just that you have maintained discipline. Gloria Copeland used to say, in consistency, therein lies the power. In Luke 4, it says Jesus went into the temple and found the scripture was written as his custom was, which means he had a custom. There's a custom. And when it comes to the things of the Spirit, that instruction should be a culture. Receive or keep taking from the Spirit. So you will see in Acts 2, 1 to 4, when they are filled with the Holy Ghost, which obviously explains the word receiving the Holy Ghost. They are filled with the Holy Ghost, Acts 2, 4. I thought it was a one-time event. Then you read Acts 4, 31. The same people, again, were filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 4, 31. Then Acts 4, 8. Peter, who was one of them, was filled with the Holy Ghost. I thought it was once. No, it's not once. It's a continuous feeling. A continuous receiving. Then you now had Acts 6, where you have Stephen. Now, of course, they asked them to pick men in verse 3 who are full of the Holy Ghost. Why would they ask men, them to choose men who are full of the Holy Ghost? Men who are given to it. Men who are always full of the Holy Ghost. Or can we say, men who are always receiving of the Spirit? Huh? That's what they ask them to choose from. Always receiving. Always receiving. You had, they had Philip and Stephen. So in verse 8, it's full of faith and power. Acts 9:17, Saul of Tarsus, Paul, is filled with the Holy Ghost. He's filled with the Holy Ghost. Then Acts 13, again, and verse 9, he's filled with the Holy Ghost. I thought that happened before. It's not a one-time occurrence. It's a regular experience. So the believer must know how these should be done every day. You are trained to be like that, full of the Spirit at all times. So what we're teaching today is what is supernatural about our gathering. What is supernatural? What is supernatural about this gathering? Now, who are we? Now, if I begin to ask questions, many of us live in different parts of Lagos. We come from different ethnic groups. We have different social status. We have different heights, different, you know, shades of colors. We have different things we are passionate about, apart from the gospel. We have different things that we do. So why then are we here? We're not here for a political party. We're not here for a club. We're not here for a profession, a career. We're not even here because of Nigeria. Why are we here? Oh, we are here as God's people, right? Is that it? Come on. So the first thing about Christian meetings, I said in the second service, is recognition. Or you can call it identification. What is this? This is church. What is church? It's a gathering of the supernatural in a natural place. So the moment our eyes are off ourselves, who we are in Christ, I mean, and we place attention on the venue, on what we wear, because we should look okay, or on the sound, on the cameras, on the screens, on the seats, or, you know, just about the environment, we lose focus of where we are. So, this meeting is supernatural because you came. We cannot make this meeting more supernatural than who we already are or what we already are. This gathering is not more supernatural than who we are. Now, the challenge oftentimes is to be able to see supernatural things wrapped up in natural things. God is here, and what I can see is a space, a church auditorium. I look at you as if God is in you, but what I can see is a man in a blue suit. I can see God is in you. But I see a lady who has a white blouse. That's what I can see. But I can choose to see again that God's Spirit dwells in you. It's now my choice how I see it. So our ability to look beyond the natural, to look beyond our sensory perception, to look beyond how we feel, will be to the degree that we are going to walk in the supernatural in Christian gatherings. So, my ability to look beyond the natural and know that God's Spirit is working, and He is working through these fellows. And I said in the second service, what is supernatural here is God and you. Now let me put it together. God walking through you. God walking through you. That is a supernatural element in this meeting. And so my focus is highly important. My focus is highly important. Now, I mentioned this in the earlier service, and I said, particularly for those of us who are into leadership or who organize church meetings, you know, because you get involved in how to organize, and sometimes how to bring your members and disciples, sometimes how to do security protocol, sound, you might lose sight of the fact that what you are doing is only the carrier, or let's say, the vessel. But the real focus is what is the content of this meeting. And the content is that we are the temple of God. That must never lose, that must never be lost in your focus. And I'm saying that because, you know, you could, just like I mentioned earlier, see it, God's Spirit working through believers as an event. Oh, that's a good time. No, no, no. That's actually what He does. And we have started to say, God's method is who? Man. So, in this service now, I'm blessed to the degree to which I see fellow believers as God's vessels. I'll take that again. I'm blessed to the degree that I see fellow believers as God's vessels. Now, that seeing is faith in action. It's honor. Honor simply means I see you in Christ. Honor means I see you in Christ. I see you. So, therefore, I honor where we are. Say, I honor where we are. I didn't hear you say, I honor where we are. I honor who we are. Glory to God. Say, I honor where we are. I honor who we are. Now, if you do that, naturally, you would do certain things. For example, your phones. You will ensure that your phones does not bring distraction. For example, you'll be punctual to the meeting. You come in on time. You won't distract anybody. You won't get distracted either. Why? You honor where we are. Then you now honor who we are. Remember, I mentioned this in the earlier services. You have Jacob. He's going to have a nap. So he takes a pillow, a stone. He goes, oh. Then he has a vision. He has a vision. He sees the angels of God. Then he sees the Lord. Then he has God speak to him. He woke up and said, well, the Lord is in this place. I didn't know it. You know what he did? He honored the place. He poured oil there. He called it sacred. Bethel, the house of God. So, you choose to honor where we are. Why is it the house of God? Because God is there and we are there. So I honor where we are. 1 Timothy 3:16, 3:15, Paul says, thou must know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God. The church of the living God, which is the pillar and ground of truth. So you know how to be. There's a way not to behave. So I honor where we are. Say, I honor where we are. Now I also honor who we are. Say, I honor who we are. So look at the person beside you. Remove your mask. Say, I honor who you are. So ask the person, who are you? You answer back. If you're a believer, say, I'm born again. Come on, answer back. Say, I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I'm born of the Spirit of God. Okay, so now say, I honor who you are. Say, I honor who you are. Say, I honor whose you are. Say, I honor whose you are. Say, I honor who you are. And I honor whose you are. Praise the Lord. And if we do that, it means I'm seeing who you really are. I'm seeing what you really are. And you know, I've said this over and over again. Sometimes we go for the spectacular. Bling, 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 bling. And we miss the supernatural. You expect that if God is doing something, they have to return that like, tak, 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 like banga. We're close to that period now. Fireworks. And because that's how you think the supernatural should be, you miss it. Look at the incarnation of Jesus. It came in unannounced. Those who were sensitive knew it, But those around did not know. For 2 years, God had become a man. It was supernatural, but it wasn't spectacular. So you can lose sight of the supernatural because you are focused on the spectacular. Bah, 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 bah. Yet, the more supernatural events can almost go unnoticed. So you need to honor, respect, and recognize who is seated beside you. Who is speaking? Who is leading the songs? Who is leading the prayer? Who is prophesying? I see you in Christ. I see you. I recognize who you are. I shared the stories before. How my friends, my own friends, we have played together. We have fun together. We go out together. But whenever we step on the things of God, I withdraw friendship immediately. Because friendship is not going to help me now. I withdraw is my classmate. He's my cousin. She's my wife. He's my husband. No. You must know how to use your discernment. Such that in many instances, when people are looking for a sokoto, is in the back pocket of their sokoto. What I mean by that, they go look for what is available in their house. But why is it not available to them? It's available, but they cannot receive because of how they see it. Now, some guys don't like this kind of teaching, but it's not a problem. Remember Pastor Higgins said something. He said, oftentimes when people are sick in a very bad experience, and you have people calling, come and pray for so-and-so. He said, usually ask the question, how does he call me? How he calls me matters. How does he see me? How does she see me? If you see otherwise, right, that's what you're going to get. In Luke 5, Jesus is a healing minister. The Pharisees are in the service. They are full, in fact, they fill the room. But they are there to criticize. Look at him. Is this a man of God? See how he is like. See his head. See, and that's, they were looking for ways to criticize and judge him. But there was a guy who was crippled, paralyzed. He was not in the service. They brought him through the roof. And Luke 5, 17 says, the power of the Lord was present to heal. Those guys' friends, thank God for good friends. Hallelujah. Thank God for good friends. They helped him coming through the roof. Jesus saw their faith. He said, son, your sins are forgiven you. Later on, he said, take up your bed and walk. How come? If you were among the Pharisees, you would never have sensed the power of God there. Why? Because you were not looking at that direction. So, God's Spirit can be walking like this, and your attention is off. You know why? Because there's something else you are looking at. Something else. And that's why we avoid things like strife, things like, you have to avoid it. Years ago, about 22 or 23 years ago, we had this conference called Holy Ghost Meeting. And the brethren, oh my God, the brethren were having squabbles. They were settling one fight every day. This person said this. Is it true you said this? No, I didn't say this. I said this, said this. And they were doing all that. And organizing the conference. So, as that conference was going on, they kept saying, I don't know this conference. I can't feel it. I don't know. I can't feel it. You know, something is off here. Something is wrong here. But those that they invited, or we invited, came to the meeting unaware of our royal rumble. Unaware of our gist. And in fact, one of them, I usually share his testimony. He said that was where he received the call of God to ministry. That he had never seen the power of God that strong in his life. And he was in ministry before, but now that was where he received the call to do the work of ministry. In that same meeting. But the people that organized it, because their focus was on each other. So when the person you are fighting is leading worship, he says, in the beauty of holiness. Mighty God, you are the greatest. Oh, every promise. Have you kept your own promise? You know, somebody else will be in the auditorium. When he hears, Mighty God, you are the greatest. Has a pain on the hand, touch in his heel. You are, and you're like, Mighty God, you. Because really that's what you chose to see. Hallelujah. But imagine if you came to the service. You said, glory to God in today's meetings. I will be blessed by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God will minister to me and I will receive. My faith is out. I walk in honor and regard. You lay aside all the nonsense in your head. That's why if people can maintain the attitude with which they join churches, they will remain blessed. But when you get into a church and you're ready, of course, relationship has come, you now know people, you've done business, you've had a breaking. Glory to God, you know what I mean? You've had all sorts of parts, you are not close to leadership, you're angry at something, someone's angry at you. Before you know it, your focus has changed. It has changed. And then you are no longer in the meeting to be blessed. You are just following routine. And some people now change church. No, you should change your attitude. It's your attitude that you need to change. Of knowing your priority. Say my priority. I don't think I say my priority. Is to be edified and built up and blessed by the Spirit of God. Look at Mark 5. The woman with the issue of blood. Mark 5 and verse 25. You know, she came around through to verse 35. She came to Jesus and touched his clothes. So that you know how things worked. When Jesus said, who touched my clothes? I'm saying, Baba, what are you saying? Who touched my clothes? How? Can you see the crowd? We are doing Igbo Osho. You're asking me who touched your clothes. This is where we are. You know? And these are people that were actually thronging around him. He said, no. I perceive the virtue came out of my body. Now the point is, only one person was recorded to have received that day, touching his clothes. There was nothing special about the clothes. It was who wore it. So you can come in here so often. You are now in the operation department, you clean the church, you come in, and you forget that it is not this place, it is who we are. We are God's temple. In Luke 6, are you learning something? So your focus matters a lot. In Luke 6 and verse 17, it says people heard about him, they came to be healed of their diseases, to hear him. Luke 6, 18, and they that were vexed with unclean spirits and were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for their virtue went out of him. They sought to touch his clothes. Now remember, these are the same clothes that the soldiers were casting lot over and they were mocking it. So it's really how you see people. So God's power is stored in a natural thing. Natural clothes in the man. People sought to touch him. Acts 19:11 and 12, we see the same thing in the ministry of Paul. So, what are the things I must recognize? Places, events, and people. People. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 24. Paul says, when the unbelieving man comes into our midst, and we all prophesy, then are the secrets of his heart made manifest. He will fall down on his face and worship God, and report that God is in you of the truth. So there's something about where we are. So, I can decide to see you as just somebody in the service. I can decide to see you as God's man and woman. I can decide to see you as God's vessel. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I can decide to see you. So now, what It's my decision. I decide to see you as a minister of the Spirit of God. That's how I see it. Now, as I see it that way, I put myself in a position to receive. God used shadows, Acts 5, Peter, clothes, Acts 19, 11, Mark 5, 25 to 35, people. So, what is supernatural about this meeting, this place, because we are here? What is supernatural about this place? You. Because God walks through you. What is supernatural about this place? What we're doing now. We're giving room to God's Spirit amongst us. So, to recognize the supernatural is an attitude. Say, I have the right attitude. Say, I have the right attitude. An attitude of faith. Come on, say it again. Attitude of faith. And honor for the things of God. I have a right attitude. Hallelujah. Now, how many times should I have that attitude? Huh? All the time. Towards my friends, my colleagues. 1996, we're having this, I shared one of the stories already. We're having this meeting. C26 or C28 now. Tell that all, UI. And, you know, we had spent 2 days together. I came from Lagos then to, you know, check on my friends, and we had this special. We're having a good time. And I remember that one of my friends there used to do the cooking. Pastor Larry Amuson Hand, he cut the yam. Sorry, that's the word. He cut the yam without peeling it and put it in fire. On fire. I said, what was this? He said, he could not miss what we were doing to be cooking. That is, his second name is not matter. So we came together and we're fellowship and we began to pray. You know, and, you know, as we prayed, we're like four. 1, 2, 3, yeah, four. And as we're praying, we just saw like a cloud of God's glory come on us. And one of my friends said, can you see what I said? I said, I can see it. And we just stood up and began to worship God. And we're there for hours. It was just in a room, a common room that had unbelievers. I don't know, a believer, but an unbelieving believer. Used to be a roommate. And we prayed. There was now one fellow who came to knock the door and he got stuck there. We were there for maybe 2 hours or so. And that's because we decided to see something about us coming together. We could have discussed something else. We could have just started arguing over nonsense, you know. But when you say no, God can walk through this gathering now. He can change nations. He can change lives. We have chosen to recognize who we are, where we are, what we are, hallelujah, whose we are, and what we can do. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. And that's why you avoid all sorts of strife. Some people like strife a lot. I shared this in the first service. I went for a meeting and some guys were just arguing about the bed. I know the bed wasn't comfortable, but leave the bed alone. We have something more. So when I went for the meeting, I used to stay in front. So then the church, then they said they wanted to meet with deacons and the pastors, and all of us in front had to go back. So, you know, so we went back. And people went to the hostels and hotels. I didn't go anywhere. I just stayed in the auditorium. I just took like a few seats away and I was listening to the teaching. And everybody had gone to eat. First, number one, I didn't even have money to eat. So, and that helped my fasting. So there was no temptation. So I remember a friend of mine, I think he's a pastor, Pastor Tayo Olumurewa, he used to be Famurewa. So he tried to help me get something to eat later on, but there's no word. So as I finished that session, the pastor had said, oh, we're going to have a great meeting tonight. So when they finished the pastor's session and the deacon's session, I just moved to the front seat. Of course, they had shifted the seat, so I sat somewhere else. So I waited there. I think the session ended around 2, so I sat in the auditorium till 6. I didn't leave the seat. I was there, just sat there, praying, studying scriptures. So, the meeting now started. So So people are coming in. So somebody that dropped a bag there at our Bible now came around to serve. I said, this is my seat. So I put my bag there. Who should I? I said, I was not the one. The usher said, so what? I kept it there. I did this one. Said, you have to go back. So I looked back. I seen the children of Israel. I said, sister, this place, I can't do it. Say, I know God, I know Satan sent you here to destroy my destiny. I know. I said, whatever. I said, let's share it. Say, never! The destiny destroyer. You, this is me? I was not even bothered. Say, the only thing that can make me leave this place is they cancel this meeting. Five hours! I stayed in one place. That's why I'm your pastor today. Hallelujah. That's why I'm your pastor today. All these things make a man. And I'm still being made by God. So you should ask yourself, how do you see these things? Are they supernatural? That's why when you see trending videos that are mocking the power of God, mocking church, don't watch it. So I say, no, a believer should be open to all kind of knowledge. No, that's not the Bible. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible says. Not to be open. Don't be open. What's open? There's nothing inside that's open to everything. Ah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Say, I walk in recognition and discernment. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. I said, glory to God. So where are we? We're in the house of God. Is that it? It's supernatural. Yeah? Supernatural, right? Come on. The supernatural is here. Yeah? God is walking here. Right here. Amen. You know, I said in the second service, the third service, you know, one of God's names is here. Shama. The Lord is here. The Lord is here. Glory to God. The miracle worker is here. Amen. The way maker is here. The one who reveals things is here. The one who strengthens is here. Hallelujah. Why is this place supernatural? Because of you. Because of me. Glory to God. Talk to the person you spoke with the last time. See, the Lord is here. Look at the person's face. See, the Lord is here. He's walking here. He's walking through you. I receive from you. I receive from you. I position myself to receive from you. Because I know you are his vessel for me today. You minister to me the things of the Spirit, the workings of miracles, the gifts of healings, the gift of faith, revelation gifts. They flow from you towards me. The utterance gifts, they flow from you towards me. I see you as who you are. You're a minister of the Spirit of God. I am a recipient of what you minister. I see you in Christ, and I walk in honor and recognition this afternoon in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand to your feet. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Knowing well that as our heart begins.